The Constitution says that it exists to, quote, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty, end quote. Again, that's directly from the Constitution. Do open borders for any nation help achieve such lofty goals? One man has served as a border agent. He's very disturbed with the trend of our open borders. His name is Victor Avila. He's a former ICE agent. He's running for Congress, U.S. Congress, over the issue. Well, now, we don't endorse nor repudiate any political candidates, but what we do want to hear about is the border crisis, which, frankly, has become untenable in the last couple of years. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Points, and we welcome Victor Avila, whose website is victoravilaforcongress.com. We welcome him to the program. Victor, it's good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry, for having me. Glad to be with you.
Sure. So tell us about your own background and what it was like at the border, and then what it was like at the border after, frankly, Mr. Biden took over.
Well, it's frankly no comparison, and I've been dealing with the border situation for 2 decades, and it is unprecedented what we're seeing today. I've dealt with the illegal immigration, with the cartels, the fraud, commercial fraud, and other crimes that have a nexus to our border. As an agent, I worked in Mexico and I worked in Europe, and I've dealt with these governments that apparently are, what you said at the opening there, have disregarded our sovereignty and our rule of law, and basically disrespecting it, not giving it its authority. But they respect it. They want us to respect theirs, and they do definitely shove it in our faces when you turn the tables around quickly. But in the last 2 years, they have this administration has dismantled, to say the least, the border situation. There is no operational control. The control that they have now is what they want to do is normalize what is happening, and it's illegal. The paroles and permits that they're issuing to illegals, these different types of asylum criteria that doesn't qualify under our own asylum criteria, but the interpretation of that asylum criteria is illegal. And so we're seeing this disregard for our own laws, our own legislatively passed laws under our Constitution, completely disregarded by this administration. And therefore, you have what you have. Not only do you have death at the border, you have rapes, you have people suffocating in the back of tractor trailers, crimes against Americans. The migrants themselves are affected with the crimes and the drownings at the river and the deaths at the on the ranches, and with this excessive heat, dying on the desert. So you have that ripple effect all the way into the state of Texas and the rest of the country. And now you're seeing these counties, these states feeling that ripple effect that I've been talking about and shouting about it and warning people that this was going to happen. Well, it's already here, and it's not just the fentanyl and the methamphetamine, but you have people taking the resources from these small communities. It's not big cities like New York that are just affected. We're talking about small rural communities where a group of 200 people has a tremendous impact on the school systems, especially when you're talking about children, the healthcare systems. We have individuals bringing a lot of health concerns and diseases and issues that are taking our resources, our emergency rooms across the nation. Of course, the criminal justice system, the school system, they're very heavily impacted. And they're trying to wonder why. Well, it's because of this open border system that this administration has deliberately set forth.
Well, you know, it's so amazing. You say, okay, the administration deliberately has set this forth, and yet Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has said, the borders are quite secure. I mean, I think he's actually said that, the borders are secure. I mean, that seems so farcical in the face of all the things you're talking about and all the things we see in the news, or some of the news, let's say Fox News mainly.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. And this is where they want to set this narrative. And they do get across. I go all over the country speaking to these different groups, and I see the direct effect of what they're hearing. And first of all, they're not hearing the truth. Second of all, if they do hear something, it's very watered down. I even get people saying, there's really nothing happening down there. This is all made up by the Republicans. And this is how successful the left have been with people like Alejandro Mayorkas, setting that narrative and false narrative, I should say, and lying to the American people of what is reality. Now, when you start talking to the families that have lost a loved one at the hands of a counterfeit pill laced with fentanyl or xylazine, then you start hearing a different story. But by then it's too late. When you become a victim at the hands of an illegal alien or a cartel member, now that's too late. We're trying to prevent this. And a lot of times I push back saying, if you want to be a humanitarian, if you want to have compassion, you would actually secure the border to keep the people from being victims themselves and Americans from falling prey to a lot of the illegals that are coming here with criminal backgrounds and criminal histories and committing crimes. One that I talk about a lot is the failure to want to assimilate to the United States. This is a shift that I saw and I've been seeing in my career where they're not coming to the United States because they want to be Americans. They're bringing their broken countries here into our communities. And we know that those broken countries are very different culturally. Even how you deal with the police, even how they treat women and children is very different than how we do it here in the United States. And they're not wanting to change that. That's why you see rapes. That's why you see property crimes. That's why you see a lot of violent crimes committed by these individuals. And of course, you add the cartel to all that, and you see an explosion in crime surges all across the nation.
Explain details about the cartels, if you would, or just, you know, kind of overview. And there's drug cartels, but there's also trafficking cartels where they're being paid a lot of money in order to get some of these, you know, people over the border to become, you know, frankly, to cross into our border and become illegal immigrants.
You're absolutely right. And they're no longer just drug cartels. There was a separation. When I investigated these organizations, there was a separation between the drug cartels and the human traffickers and human smugglers back then. Not anymore. The cartels have taken over all of it. Now you will deal with a cartel, whether it's for human trafficking, which is it's a different crime here. Human trafficking and human smuggling are two different crimes. Human trafficking being the exploitation of that individual, that child, that woman for sexual exploitation, the sex slave trade or forced labor. And of course, the smuggling is the paying the fee to be introduced into this country illegally. Now, the cartel doesn't care if the illegal alien turns themselves into Border Patrol or whether they want to get snuck in the back of a tractor trailer in a stash house. They're going to get paid either way. But what they've done and what's happening lately is that the cartels are bringing in people initially just on a smuggling venture, but then turning some of these illegals into victims through indentured servitude kind of situations where they owe the cartels part of the fee, if not the entire fee that was charged to them for bringing them into the country illegally. And so now they own these people in Minneapolis and North Carolina and Denver, that these young people will now work for the cartels to work off that debt. And even if those individuals, I've talked to them personally, even if they're good kids, they're not criminals, the cartel will ask them and force them to do things that they might not be willing to do, but because they own them and control them, and with the threat and coercion that they will kill their families in their home country, take their properties, they will make them either sell the methamphetamine or the fentanyl or put them to work it off in under their conditions. And that's the biggest shift here with the cartels. They're terrorist organizations. I mean, I've been talking about this for years. They're foreign terrorist organizations. They should be designated as such because the days of investigating them in the long term of 2 years and identifying the chain of command, those days are over. We need to attack these cartels a lot more aggressively than we have. But you have to first acknowledge that they're the problem. This administration won't even acknowledge that. And second of all, Mexico won't even acknowledge it. Mexico is in on a purpose denial there of their organized crime problem in their own country. And so there's a big issue here of dealing with these countries in Mexico, Central America. The bigger picture here is dealing with Venezuela, Cuba, China, Iran, Hezbollah, these big organizations and governments that are using the country of Mexico to infiltrate themselves into our country. And so if you look at the big picture, it's a national security public safety issue that we're dealing with here.
Well, you know, it's so interesting that when Donald Trump was president and he got all this negative grief of little kids in cages and so forth at the southern border and so forth. Now, that's almost like paradise compared to what's actually going on in that whole scenario. And all of those things were short-lived anyway. So it just sounds like the border's gotten far worse ever since the president, Biden, took over.
And let me give you some numbers to compare. When President Trump got all that grief that you mentioned of those 5,000 unaccompanied children, and they made us think about it in the kids in cages, and they went down there and cried at fake empty fences. But that was 5,000 kids back then. Right now, under this administration, 385,000 unaccompanied children have come in here. And you heard that right. 385,000 unaccompanied children, 85,000 are completely lost. We let them in. We have no idea where they're at. We have no idea what host or what sponsor took them and have them doing God knows what, whether it's child trafficking, whether it's labor, whether they're with their parents or their cousins. We have no idea because this administration has lost 85,000 of them. And so where's the outcry now? Where's the concern? I mean, I go back to saying if you want to
wait, you just said 85,000, but you said before 385,000. Is that right? I'm almost 400,000.
385,000 have come in.
Wow.
An additional 85,000 have been lost.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Completely lost. That we haven't even that this administration has no record of. And I tell you personally, I've flown with these children, once with what appeared to be a 4-year-old little boy, another one, maybe a 3 or 4-year-old little girl, with men that were not their fathers. I had already interviewed these men, had questioned them the way I used to question as an agent. They had no idea who this child was that they were escorting to Florida in one case, in another case to Minneapolis. Where are those kids? Who are they going with? Who's accepting them? We have no interior enforcement, no one knocking on doors to vet the individual that asked for this child. And that continues to happen. Another reason why we've seen an increase in children is because this administration put out the word that if you have a child with you, we're not going to apply Title VIII, which Title VIII is the immigration law. We're not going to apply the law to you. You're going to come right in because you have a child. Well, that's what people started doing immediately. Well, I'm going to go get a child and bring them with me to avoid that type of prosecution. It is, if we can't get behind saving the kids and the fentanyl problem alone, which I think is, if you think about it, it should not be a partisan issue. It shouldn't be a left or right. The pill that is killing Americans, they don't care which way you vote. And the same thing with the children. This is something that we could unite behind and really start holding these countries accountable. And I want to shift the burden back on these countries and say, wait a minute, you have a responsibility to take care of your citizens here.
We have about 20 seconds left. Go ahead.
We want to shift that burden on these countries to be able to hold them accountable before they even make their people come through these treacherous journeys.
Wow. Victor Avila, thank you so much for sharing. Victor Avila for Congress.com. All the best, Victor. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry, for having me.